Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we are watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comic books for the NPR website. I'm joined today by Audie Cornish. Hi,
hey
Audie.
Hey there, Glenn. How are you?
Very well. What do you do at NPR?
I am a co-host at All Things Considered.
Yeah, heard of it.
Yeah, you know, little program.
Absolutely. All right, we're here today to talk about Sense8, which is a new television series streaming on Netflix, dropped last Friday, 12 episodes. It is written and produced by J. Michael Straczynski and the Wachowskis. J. Michael Straczynski brought us Babylon 5 and wrote a lot of comics, and the Wachowskis are the Wachowskis, The Matrix, etc. The premise is that there are 8 people from different places around the globe who simultaneously become mentally linked and emotionally connected. You got a Kenyan bus driver, a Korean businesswoman, a Chicago cop, a Mexican telenovela star, a German thief, an Indian scientist, an Icelandic DJ, and a San Francisco, they're really going to make me use this word, hacktivist.
Hacktivists. Hacktivists are back from the mid-90s movies you love.
Oof. Okay, so there are 12 episodes that dropped. I'm 11 in. How far are you?
I actually only got 4 in.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I decided not to watch more.
Uh-huh.
In order to have this conversation
okay,
with
okay,
you.
Okay, okay, okay. Let's get to it.
I think that recently Netflix actually dropped a program that they're doing weekly. Mm-hmm. And they're experimenting with, I don't know, it's kind of a Back to the Future moment. And I'm really glad they didn't do that with this. Because the first episode, the pilot, is so painful, so long, such a slog. It's like putting on a song, like your favorite song for someone because you're trying to get them into it.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, oh, no, don't listen to this part. And then like 2 minutes in, don't listen to this part. So my theory is to start the show at episode 3.
Uh-huh.
I firmly believe everything you need to know about a lot of these characters and what gives them a sense of agency or their approach to their own lives is very dutifully conveyed in the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get your opinion. Maybe we can do more setup, but there's so many characters. It's sort of hard to
talk
about.
You know, I read the EW review, the Entertainment Weekly review, before I saw the show. And it was, you know, there's too many characters and we don't spend enough time with them and it's hard to get emotionally invested. And I was like, that is such a boring, hacky critique. That's so tired. They're trying something experimental here. You know, engage the show. Don't tell me about the show you want it to be. Just what is this show? And about 3 episodes in, I was like, there's really a lot of characters.
It's a lot.
And, you know, when the show shuts up about what it's about, a lot of times they'll talk about how we're all connected and evolution and blah, 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 blah. That's when it really loses me. But when the show is just about kind of itself, this is gorgeously shot, we should say that. It's amazing to look at. It's like a tourist brochure. Rarely has it taken so long for nothing to happen so stylishly.
Yeah.
There's a pacing issue here that if you stick with it, I'm going to tell you about 6 episodes in, you start to get
a plot. That's when the song gets better.
That's right. Character, let's call it character-driven, not plot-driven. There is no sign of a plot for the first 5 episodes.
But here's the thing. I remember watching the show Lost.
Sure.
And when I started watching it, I actually started on the 4th episode, which I looked up, which was Walkabout. This is the, I think it's about Locke, and you find out that he could walk in his past life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being so blown away by it. And later when I watched the pilot of Lost, I was like, oh, really? Like, I don't know if I would have jumped in on the show in the same way.
Right.
And I feel like network television, and you saw this with Lost, you also saw this with Heroes, where there's also a bunch of characters.
Right.
Network television is like, we got to get people hooked on this, and we want to be with you. We can do all these characters, but you need to make us want to stay for each and every one.
Mm-hmm.
With Sense8, there were moments like I really wanted to be with the rich Korean businesswoman / kickboxing champion.
Sure.
And when she had an interaction with the Kenyan bus driver, those are 2 stories I wanted to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were other stories where I was like, maybe I'd want to be in here, like the Mumbai scientist who is like getting married to someone and she doesn't want to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a cool show, but I don't really want to watch that show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems it's great, but I don't want to be with all of these characters.
Because the time we get with them per episode is so limited, you get one note sounded each time you revisit them. And it does take a while for, you know, rising action to happen.
But do you think that's the same with Nomi, who is the trans character in San Francisco? I think that's the hacktivist.
Mm-hmm. That is the hacktivist.
She gets a very compelling story that you're drawn into right away. The action comes in right away. She has a compelling love story,
mm-hmm.
so much so that I want to be on the show that her girlfriend is on. Her girlfriend seems amazing.
Her girlfriend, played by Freema Agyeman, I think is how you say that, who, for the nerds out there, played Martha Jones on Doctor Who,
There's always a Doctor Who connection on this show.
Doing a very passable American accent, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice.
And playing a very, very different character.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Much sexier character.
Much sexier. Speaking of which, shall we talk about the sex on this show?
Let's talk about it. There's a lot.
There's so much.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared for all of it.
Uh-huh.
Like with HBO and Showtime and stuff, there's that whole kind of sexploitation. What's the word?
No.
Sexposition.
Sexposition.
It's when you reveal plot with like bodies behind, like
yeah.
even though you don't really need it. I'm actually not used to that on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying this does that, but I actually was sort of taken aback. I was like, oh, right. They can do that.
I found myself getting so into the mythology of the show, despite myself. But there's this thing about these eight people are mentally connected, and sometimes they can kind of pop up in each other's houses and talk to each other, and there is attraction between several of these people, sexual attraction, and it feels weird to me. It feels
of... Because we should say it's not just that these people are mentally connected, it's that they will actually see each other.
And feel what the other feels.
Right, so the like Mumbai scientist is gazing out on the balcony when she should be thinking of her husband, and right at that moment, a moment of tension, which happens a lot in the show, that's when she sees the German safecracker just also standing there, and he's befuddled not knowing what he's doing there.
Yep.
Those elements were super fun.
Yeah.
You know, like anytime it made you be excited for the next time it would happen, like whose world would cross
Absolutely.
And in what awkward way would it happen or not awkward way?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be face to face? Would it be an element, like one person, a chicken lands on their desk for a reason I won't spoil for everybody. I looked forward to that and almost wish there was more sometimes.
What the show does right is it's, you know, a superhero origin story basically, and the most boring part of the superhero origin story is for the superhero not to know what's going on when the audience totally does, and we have to see lots of scenes of them going, oh, what's going on? Am I going crazy? It gets over that relatively quickly, and now it's really exploring a lot of these connections, and when the martial artist can help out somebody who needs help in a given situation, there's a real charge there. But when it's not working, it does feel like warmed over heroes at the NBC show.
A more expensive heroes.
A much
more glossier hero.
A glossier one that has this weird sort of 80s, 90s cyberpunky thing going on in some
weird
ways.
Which I'm into.
Yeah, totally. All right, so it's a cautious recommendation or not a recommendation. Where do you stand?
I think that if you are a fan of these filmmakers, like me, and it's Netflix, you're already paying for the streaming.
That's true.
Add it to the list. I say this as someone who watched all the episodes of a show called Scrotal Recall.
Oh, boy.
Because Netflix told me to.
Yeah.
Talk about it another time. It's actually a really good show.
Okay.
When I run out of things in the summer, I'll come back to this.
Sure. No, I get that.
Is there a certain price point at which the Wachowskis should be just like taken down a notch? You know what I mean? Like, have we seen filmmakers who, at this point, should not be given more money? And I don't say that just because of Speed Racer.
Yeah, I love Speed Racer.
Too much money might have hurt the situation. Do they do better when they have to kind of be scrappers and be more creative with what they've got?
It's a fair point. I like the fact that filmmakers and showrunners who are as weird as the Wachowskis are, who are shy of formulaic stuff, are given the money to make something look amazing and have big budget science fiction not feel like we've seen it before. One of the things that they're proud of with this show is that it is exploring things that science fiction generally doesn't. Gender, or at least the big budget science fiction generally doesn't. Gender, sexuality, identity, politics. That's their
And the diversity in it is like makes all other television runners, they should hang their heads in shame. There's
Absolutely.
No excuse. Because they basically created eight different programs.
Yes.
Which all have diverse casts.
That totally do, where everybody speaks English, but
We'll put that aside.
We just buy English. So yeah, I would recommend it. I do like your idea of starting a little bit later. Faust was like, I'm out for three episodes. He came back in five later, and he is totally hooked along with me. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thanks again, Audie.
Thanks for having me.